Welcome to Talk, a podcast dedicated to creatives breaking into the industry, presented by Brain Freeze. I'm your host, Dana Bulos. On episode 8, we talk with Amanda Wall, painter and muse. I hope you enjoy the talk. Amanda, welcome to Talk.
Thanks, Dan. I'm so happy to be here speaking with you today.
I know. Doesn't it feel like we're on like a reality or like some sort of like show?
It is the surreality show.
So, Amanda, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Jeez, I'm Amanda. I live and work in Los Angeles. I'm a painter, and that's kind of what I'm focusing on right now. I've had a lot of other creative processes in my life, but right now I just identify as artist.
And how did you get into art?
It was kind of a funny road of getting there. Like, I grew up in a really small town where there wasn't art, you know, very rural redneck kind of situation. And I mean, I was always considered like the artist in my class. Like, I was the one who could draw better than everyone else. And I was the one like making stuff in my room alone every day. That was like my whole world, was just like making stuff alone in my room. And I won all of like the art scholarships in like middle school and high school, but I didn't go into fine arts right out of high school because I thought I had to have like a real job. I wasn't like encouraged on that level of being like, art is an option for you, or just like where I came from, that's just not a real thing. So I went to school for interior architecture and design, kind of got sucked into modeling at the same time. I was modeling to pay for it. I got sucked into fashion world just because it was fun and money and glamorous and not incredibly challenging, but like still felt creative at the same time. And really, like, the art thing of me painting has been kind of just like the progress over the past like 3 years or so. I haven't been painting that long. I picked it up during a time when I was going through like a lot of kind of like emotional stress. Like, I was coming out of a long-term relationship and living alone for the first time. And my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and just like, I had a lot of internal volume that I needed to like shut down a little bit. And I needed something to do that distracted me enough. And I just fell back in love with painting. And it's really just been where I'm at for the past three, four years. I've only been taking it super, super seriously for the past year, but
I love that you had, you know, different jobs before going into art and really explored like more of the fashion scene and modeling and design. Yeah. Let's go over that of having multiple jobs and how to navigate into what you did. I mean, for you, totally. it kind of was more of like a relaxation while everything was, you know, when it rains, it pours is kind of how I think.
Yeah. Really, right? Well, it's sort of a way for me to like process information. Like, even though I've done a lot of jobs, it's all been based on the idea of like creating an image, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's styling a shoot or like photographing something or like doing like brand identity and packaging design, which has been a big part of my career. It's all about just like creating emotional response to a basically inanimate thing. And it's something I'm really drawn to do. And I've always been drawn to do that. Like, even since I was a kid, making like little films alone in my room or like photographing my dogs, like out by the trees, like, you know, just kind of like trying to like capture something or like capture an emotional state. I can't stop doing it. I'd like to not do it, but it's all I've got.
Is there a piece of art as what you saw as a child that made you think like, wait, I want to go into this world?
Yes and no. Like, I never understood that it was something that I could do. You know, I knew that like I could make little things of mine that like please me, or I could make little drawings, but I didn't realize I could do that as like a living or do that as a lifestyle. The first art or paintings that I remember seeing like as a kid, it's sort of like Monet, right? Like, that was like my first love. It's like when you like,
for me.
No, but it's like the Beatles too. When you're 10, you like, you're in love with Paul McCartney, and like, that's the equivalent of like Monet to me. Like, right. And then later you like find out like, oh, John is really the one who's the cool one. Maybe that's Manet. And so it's like this whole, like, it's like a whole, I don't know, evolution of taste, but Monet was big for me when I was 10. that's the first time that I saw, like, you know, classical, like, French painting, or was exposed to it in, like, middle school art classes.
Yeah, that was the same exact for me. I was just trying to remember. I was maybe like 6 or 7. I was living in London at the time.
Yeah.
And he took us to the museum there, and I saw exactly the huge, beautiful Monet painting that wrapped like almost 180 around
the water lilies.
Yeah, it was the water lilies.
Yeah.
And the pastels, and it just definitely, I was such a little, you know, I mean, in London, it's very different compared to the American system of schooling. It was just like they introduced you to all of that almost a little bit ahead. But then in America, it was like in middle school and high school that you actually get to really be exposed to the proper art.
I hadn't physically seen art until I was probably at least like 12. I'm from a really small, like, shitty town. Like, there were art museums in Portland, but my mom and dad, like, they don't, you know, think about art. They didn't take me there. So it was like, what my representation of seeing it was like in a book.
Yeah.
Which is completely different, you know?
Yeah. That was probably like the first time I saw it in real life as well. And then afterwards, I remember I saw, you know, in the 90s, there was these books, the like the art book. Do you remember that? And it was like an encyclopedia.
No.
I still have this book. And I remember my mom was out of town for like the week, and she left me with my aunt and my cousins. And I really wanted this book. And my aunt was extra conservative. And she saw me looking at this book, and I was like, I really want to buy this. They're like, can you get this for me? And she was just like, no, absolutely not. Like, this is inappropriate. There's naked.
Why? Oh, it was risque.
It was. And I remember I told my mom when she came back, I was like literally around that same age, like 8, 9. And my mom was like, absolutely. Like, I'm going to go and buy that for you. Like, do not worry. She was also an artist and a painter. And so she was like, what? Like, don't listen to that. Yes, this is art. This isn't like pornography or anything.
That's great. But it's great that you had that encouragement from an early age. Like, I come from a place of people not understanding art.
Yeah.
So like, I was a strange little like catalyst for like something else in a place where no one else was like gravitating towards it. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a weird position to be in as a kid, of like seeing too much and feeling too much and like not knowing what to do with that.
And it makes sense why you got into more of like creative image and just more of like the details before getting into painting.
It's also like kind of a funny thing, because I like went into modeling too, and it was like kind of a weird like psychological place to be like validated for your appearance first, then opposed to like your like creative output.
Right.
So it's like confusing, like which direction do I go? Like, what are people paying me for? Like, what is my value? So that was a little bit of a weird place to come into and come out of.
I feel like now it's become really like acceptable of like doing multiple things. Let's talk about the struggle of that, where someone would know you more of as a model rather than a creative or a painter.
It's still something I do struggle with. I mean, I don't tell people what I do. Like, you look at my Instagram page and you think it's like I'm a painter, but you scroll back and then maybe you thought I was like some sort of like it girl influencer or something, which all of these things are true, but like to bridge those parameters of how people perceive you is interesting. They're all different things, but they're sort of all the same thing to me. Even in terms of navigating, it was never strategic. It was just like me focusing on what I was into at the moment, or like what I was working on, or what was inspiring me at the time. But I still think that there's like a little bit of a problem, especially the art world is interesting, because I knew a lot of people socially as something before people knew me as a painter. So like, I'm still in this transition phase where like people saw me as something and they're like, wait, what? She paints now? What's going on there? Who taught her how to paint? What, like, you know, there's a skepticism.
Right. Totally.
there's a total skepticism. And especially when you're perceived as something that is not taken that seriously, like fashion is not taken seriously in a lot of places.
Yeah.
It's totally something that I'm still working with, but I don't feel like I have any like anxiety about it, or I'm not worried about it, but it's something that's, I think, is always going to be there a little bit.
And so during this crazy time that we've been in lockdown, God, I'm so excited for the world to like open back up. How did you deal with it? Like, what were you doing during lockdown?
Honestly, this lockdown was like probably one of the best years of my life. Although it was difficult for all of the obvious reasons, it really allowed me to hold still. I'm really prone to escapism, which I do through getting on a plane or, you know, like just trying to get out of my life or get out of my head for a minute, see a new perspective. So not being able to do that allowed me to, you know, go to my studio every day, focus on painting. It just gave me so much more time to think too, like space, like this mental capacity of not having all of these, you know, social obligations and travel obligations. And it was a way to like remove myself from this machine of myself that had been going and going and going.
Do you think art can do something during a period of a crisis? Like, do you think it helps during a crisis, or do you think it makes it worse?
I think it definitely helps. I mean, art is like a way to transcend like that. I mean, that's entirely what art is about. It's like, you know, seeing something that takes you somewhere else or takes you out of, you know, what you know. And like, what better way to do it in a time of like psychotic global mania? I mean think about all of the past like pandemics or like crazy plagues of the world. Generally a renaissance follows. That's kind of how like breakthroughs in art and breakthroughs in creativity happen, is these times of like darkness.
What do you do to solve a creative block?
It's hard to do the right thing. Generally I'm just really anxious and run around. I know the solution is that you should stop what you're doing and go look at other things. I think it's just like trying to get a new perspective and like get out of your head. You can just like keep going in circles and circles around the same ideas. And if you can just like stop that process, like I'm in Mexico right now and it's been like the best thing for me. I've been here for a week, and to not be able to like go to the studio is giving me space from it for a minute. Mm-hmm. So I can just like rethink the direction I want to go, or like, you know, have a little bit of more distance, which is hard for me because I'm like a super workaholic. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even like taking like any day off. So vacations are like this weird like prison for me, where I can just like sit and think and have time to think and have time to like,
that's exactly
figure, how refigure.
That's literally exactly how I feel when I'm on vacation. It's a nightmare because I'm like,
it's okay, a nightmare.
Let's do this. Let's create that. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, and it's always that like vacations, I never don't have work to do. Like, yeah. I have so much work to do. So like being like on a beach and like knowing there's work to be done, it's really hard for me to relax. And I can do it for maybe like 4 or 5 days, but like more than a week is like too much. Like, I thrive on like making things, like just any type of creative process. Like, if I, you know, even if it's just like cooking or some form of making things. And if I don't do that, I get like very destructive. Mm-hmm. So I need projects all the time.
No, fully. I agree. I'm the same way. I'll just start going in a deep, dark hole where I'm like, am I gonna do this again? It's interesting. Totally. Like, as a director, when you wrap like a long project that you've been spending like months on working and brainstorming, and then you're wrapped and you're like, wait, what is my life now?
No, exactly. It's about like 12 to 24 hours of like, oh my God, I'm free. I'm going to go paint my nails or something. Mm-hmm. And then the 2 hours in, you're like, what do I do now? Yeah. It's like, you're like alone in a room and it's like silent. You're like, oh fuck. Yeah, totally. And then you realize that you thrive on the stress and you thrive on the mania. And that's what like keeps everything going. That's what makes you feel alive.
For sure. Yeah. It keeps the blood flowing. That's kind of how I feel, or pumping or whatever.
The pulse.
Exactly. For sure. And when you finally got into art, what were like the steps that you took? Like, you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I started doing it. Now what? Uh-huh.
I taught myself how to paint. So I didn't go to school for fine arts. I mean, I took like a few like classes of like basic color theory when I was like a teenager, but who cares? Like getting into art, I was basically like buying like shitty supplies at a craft store. Actually, Michael's in Glendale, you know, where we meet sometimes. I was just buying like supplies and like fucking around in my apartment. You know, I really had no intention of being an artist. I just like making paintings. I like how it gets me out of my head. I like the whole process. It's so, so fun and so, so interesting and really, really challenging. So that's why I was compelled to do it. I was taking it really casually. You know, I'd make maybe like one painting a month, just like a hobby zone. Like that's where it was. And I started posting them on Instagram, and the response that I got was always like really surprising to me. I'm like, wait, what? People really like my paintings? This is crazy. I'm just fucking around here. It kind of progressed from there. You know, I kind of got a real kick out of being able to post something and see people's responses and like see that what I was doing like moved people in a way. And I loved sharing it too. And it kind of like, I really did start my whole painting thing through Instagram, which sounds silly, but that's how things work now. I mean, even like if you think about the friends you met, like that was through Instagram too. Like it sounds like it's like a bad dating app. Like you're like telling everybody we met on match.com, but like everything in my life has been like this, like through Instagram thing. It's like
it's a digital,
this new, like direct, like way to communicate with people. And the painting has just been progressing like very slowly over the past year. I've taken it very, very seriously where I'm at the studio every day, and I didn't use to do that. It's just kind of that, like actually teaching myself how to paint. I don't know if I know what I'm doing still. I'm getting a hang of a swing of like a process that I think is my own, but like I have a lot of insecurity about no one telling me how to do it or not gone to school. I like looked at paintings and saw how they were made, and I like watched some YouTube videos, and like I just kind of like patched all these kind of things together, and trying to find a style and trying to find an identity and trying to like find a voice is still like a process. I mean, it's always going to be a process.
I think that's so badass that you just literally jumped into a pool and didn't know how to swim. I think that's the most admiring, like that's the most coolest thing I've like known about you. And that's how it should be, you know. It shouldn't be that we are, you know, I never went to film school either. Like
right.
One of those things where it's like it shouldn't be a mandatory thing or to be respected. And it's like, no, we're gonna find a way. We don't need to go through door one and door two. We're gonna hop through three.
Yeah. This is just sort of like my story. But even like I have an insecurity about my age too, of like, oh, I didn't start when I was like 20, and oh, this is like, I'm not the 30 under 30 painter, you know. So there's kind of like these stupid things of like, say that like this is where you should be in your career, this is where you need to be now, and this is where you had to come from. Mm-hmm. And like it's such a weird thought, because life is so individual. I mean, how could we all like have the same process?
I think society plays such a strange rules, when in reality there are no rules. And a lot of people, you know, still believe in that. And every industry has their like box kind of thing, like whether it's modeling, like not being a certain age and being like, okay, you're old now and you're like 22.
No, exactly.
That is the strangest thing. And I'm really grateful that we're in 2021 where, you know, those rules don't really apply anymore. It's like supposed to be traditional, and I'm so grateful that they don't. And I think it's going to take a few more years to really break more of that box. But I'm really grateful of where we are right now, where anything is extremely possible, and the help of the internet. Like I have a love and hate relationship with the internet.
Yeah.
Yes, you probably do too. But
yep,
it's brought so many blessings and so many networks, and just being able to hear what people think. And
exactly. Everyone's allowed to have a voice and allowed to have like a, you know, vision. It's quite democratic.
Are you excited for your new shows that are coming up?
I am excited for my shows. I'm in a cube group shows coming up. Let's see. I don't even remember. It all kind of like are happening at the same time, so I'm a little bit overwhelmed, especially because I'm in Mexico not working right now and I need to get back to work. So I'm in a show in New York. It'll be my first show in New York at Almin Resh, and I have a group show in Korea coming up in May, and I'm going to do a couple of pieces for Freeze in New York, and that's going to be basically my spring. And then I'm going to try to like calm down with summer and work on a solo later in the year.
I'm so excited for you. This is going to be so great.
It's super exciting because like the progression of this past year has been really crazy. Like my first show was in January and it's April now. So it's been 4 months of like, oh my God, people are taking me seriously, a lot more seriously than I expected. Oh no, I'm an artist now. I better learn how to paint quick. Like that's like all of these like fears and anxieties that I have are like happening. And I'm trying to like cope and manage and deal with all of that. But I can handle it. I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm fine. No. I'm totally fine, Dana.
We all go through that where it's like, is this really happening? Like for sure.
Yeah.
Did yeah. they get the right person? But of course they did. Like, I think when that voice comes in, I kind of like to like shush it down or like slap it in the face yeah. and be like, no, I am here. Like, this is where I want to be. And I try to calm down and I understand that whole like feeling.
But it's crazy, especially art world too, when you're like sitting here making something with no intrinsic value and then all of these people come in and say like, this is how much it's worth and this is your place. And it's like, oh, really? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So much I don't know that I'm just like learning and picking up on.
What happens when a curator or a gallerist approaches you and they want an art piece from you?
It depends. Usually like a curator is going to contact me if they're like curating a show or like putting a group show together, and a gallerist is going to contact me if they, you know, want to do like a solo or something, or they have a group show that they're curating in mind. So they'll like send me the show idea, or they'll, you know, just want to Zoom with me and fill me out, because it's at a time right now too where like everyone's Zooming and that's how we are experiencing art and that's how we're like meeting people for the first time. So it's kind of just been that, really. Like most of my art that's selling is like people don't see it in real life, so it's this whole like different shift and dynamic of like how we connect and how we experience things.
And how do you put value on your work? This is the most trickiest.
I'm doing what the gallerists are advising me to do. I like know so little and I'm so new that I'm just like taking advice from like people who know where I should be at this point in my career and just my entry level. And I don't know. I think it's fine.
What do you think is the future of art?
Oh my God. I hope I don't know. You know, like I hope I have no idea what the future of art is, because I think that's what's interesting about it, is like the not knowing. Even when I make a painting, like I don't know how it's going to end. And that's the whole process. And that's why I'm doing it. If I knew how the painting was going to end, or I knew what it was going to look like, I wouldn't have made the painting. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't like find anything. You didn't discover anything. You didn't learn anything about yourself. So I hope that like whatever art is or becomes, or the trajectory it takes in our culture right now, that we go someplace we can't even imagine.
I've been hearing this from multiple people, but basically there's a whole online like presence, and I can't remember the exact name of this.
Oh, are you talking about NFTs?
Yes, NFTs.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, how do you feel about the whole NFT
movement? I am open to it. I don't want to put any boundaries on what is called art or what isn't. I think it's a bit of like a silly craze right now, just like the way that cryptocurrency is too. Like it has its highs and lows and moments when people are like want to be part of something or don't. But I think it's interesting. I'm not against it in any way. I haven't made an NFT, but I kind of never say never. I don't think it's like any less of an art because you can't physically experience it, I guess. It's hard to explain like my personal like idea of what is real and what isn't real. It's like a non-reality, but what is a reality? Maybe it's all the same. I don't know. As long as it, you know, stirred something within you, why can't it be art?
I think that's super true. 100%. when it comes to art, it's like really, for me, it's really like ambiguous. But then if it gives you some sort of like feeling towards it, if you hated it, loved it, it's a reality.
I mean, I do like the most like classical form of like very classical form of like painting on a canvas. So obviously that fits the parameters of art, but like, I think the NFT, I think a JPEG is cool. I think it's cool. I still don't know the technical process of like how it works.
Fascinating.
It's interesting because like the reason I wanted to make paintings was to get away from like the disposability of like a JPEG, just because, you know, we've been taking photos and like sharing like creative process that way. I like the physicality of a painting. It still has like the emotional like relevance as a painting.
What advice would you give someone trying to go into the same path as you are?
Well, I wouldn't suggest they take my path because it wasn't a great, but if they wanted to start making paintings, I would say start making paintings and be yourself. Like, I can't, if you want to be an artist, make sure that like you don't have a choice of doing anything else because it's a nightmare. So make sure that that's what you have to be doing. And if you don't have to be making art, don't make art.
Do what you have to do. I mean, it's like a survival. Like if you just want to make art for fun, like it's not fun. If you think it's going to be fun, it's not going to be fun. Yeah, only do it if you have to do it.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It was so good having you on Talk. Talk is presented by Brain Freeze, hosted by Dana Buos, produced by Vera Iwanoff and Indigo Media. Edited by Sam Sobo. And music by Max Dondino Ferrer. See you next week for the next episode of Talk.